How many here this morning has served in the armed forces?
I just want to thank you for
the service that you did for our country, for our freedom, and the sacrifices that your families made that we can come here on this glorious day to serve the Lord and to worship Him and to do it in open and in public. Just thank you for that. You know, if you
think about Memorial Day, or some people call it Decoration Day, how it came about, there was I believe it was in April of 1863 in Columbus, Mississippi, that this elderly woman was decorating the graves of her two sons that had died in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. And she also decorated two mounds that was over there in the side of the cemetery, which were Union soldiers. She acknowledged when some other of the women that were with her, she asked her why she was doing that, and she said that there was a family in the North, a mother who was hurting just the same way that she was, and she wanted to honor. So basically, that's how Memorial Day came about. And as then years later, it was passed as a law to recognize those who have fought and died for our country and for our freedom around the world. So we set aside a day each year to remember those who gave their lives. That's what Memorial Day is. You're actually remembering not only those that have fought and died for a country, but we also take it as that time to remember those that have, and from our family and our loved ones that have died. Excuse me. Yeah, I had to water that frog. Excuse me. So why do we need memorials in our life? There should be certain things in our life that stick out and remind people of who we are and what we stand for. So why is there a need? Before we go any further, I would like to read some scripture, if my voice will let me. And Joshua, somebody else is going to have to read. My voice is leaving. Okay. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Yeah, would you please? Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9.
When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever."
Now go 19 through 24.
"And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had told Joshua.
And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day.
Yeah. Where'd you get to? Yeah, go down to 20. Did you read all the way through 24? Mm. Go all the way through 24.
Haphram, Shion, Anarhareth, Rabath, Hishon, Ebez, Remeth, Engamon, Enhadden, Bethpazer. The boundary also touches Tabor, Shazama.
No, wait a minute. I was in chapter 4, verses 19 through 24, is what I'm wanting.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. We just wanted to see if she could pronounce them.
The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever."
Amen. Thank you, Barb. So the need for memorials in our lives as Christians, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 through 15 says, "Then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God. You shall fear him. You shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and destroy you from the face of the earth." The scripture tells us that we need to, the people need to remember that he had brought them up out of the land of Egypt and out of that house of slavery. We need to remember in our lives where God has brought us from. We need memorials set up to us and our families about where God has brought us from, and where he has delivered you out of that house of slavery, that slavery of sin in your life. And it tells us that you shall fear him. Remember, we talked about that last week, that people, even Christians today, do not fear God the way we should. It says you shall serve him, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods or the people around you. And he says that he is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. We need memorials in our life to remind us that we need to fear God. We need memorials in our lives to show our children and our grandchildren that we fear the Lord God Almighty. We need memorials in our lives because we have short memories. How many of us here have short memories? Mine gets shorter every day. You know, I make a list, and I went to get stuff for our little barbecue, and I made a list, and then I forgot my list. You know, I mean, that's how short my memory is. And it's just like the people of Israel. You know, when they were in the wilderness and God would touch them and bless them and they would be praising and worshiping God, and as soon as things got all right, then they would go back to their old ways. See, we have a short memory. See it so much today.
people start coming to church, they start worshiping God, they start reading their Bible. And as soon as the road that is their own has been rough, and as soon as things smooth out and the danger is past, you don't see them anymore. They're no longer worshiping God. They may come to church for several Sundays in a row, and then all of a sudden, poof, they're gone. You see, we need memorials in our lives to remind us that we need to fear God. Amen? We need memorials in our life to remind us of our past. Remember that song I've sang before, "Remind Me, Dear Lord"? We need to remember where we came from. We need to be reminded of where we could have been. And we need to be reminded of where we would be going without the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is to hell. We need to be reminded of that. We need to remind our children of that. We should never forget where we were and where we were headed. You need to have memorials in your life to remind you of that. The second thing would be the use of memorials. How do we use them? We use them to teach our children. To teach our children about His power and His mercy, and also about His love. There's so many times that all we want to do is teach them about God's love. We need to be teaching them to fear God. We need to be teaching them about God's His power and also His mercy. You see, they go together. It's not just about love. We need to teach them to have a fear and a reverence for God. Back in Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off." We need to use things, memorials in our life to teach our children. We need to be sharing with our children how God delivered you, how God touched you last week. See, it's not just about salvation, but it's about how God in His power and His strength and His mercy has delivered you from things, and how He may have touched you and blessed your life last week. See, it's not just about salvation, because God is helping you every day. You need to be sharing that with your children and your grandchildren. Joshua chapter 4, 21 and 23, he says, "And he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground.'" See, we need to realize something this morning. This river was at flood stage, and it says that they passed over on dry ground to show the deliverance and the power of God. We need to be telling our children about that in our lives. These memorial, these stones that they took from the river, was a basis of sharing their faith with children. God gives us tools in our lives where we can use them to share stories about the power of God with your children and your grandchildren. You'll be surprised when you start looking for them of how many things that are there in their lives that we can use. Me and Daryl was talking about this yesterday. You realize that Christianity can become extinct in a family through one generation? You realize that? Christianity, let me say that again. Christianity in a family can become extinct in one generation. You take one generation that quits fearing the Lord God, that quits going to church, and what happens to the generations after that? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Let's train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The Bible tells us how to train our children. And by God's grace and His power and His love and His mercy, I did not do that. But through His mercy, I was able to lead my children to the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was trained up right. I was trained up, and I came back to it. But there was also a good chance that my children would have not been. We could have lost that Christianity in our family could have become extinct through that one generation. And whose fault would it have been? It wouldn't have been theirs. Yeah, they got a choice, but it would have been mine for not teaching them the power and the strength of God Almighty and teaching them to fear God. But through God's power and His mercy and His truth, I was able to lead them to the Lord. You know, I've heard so many people say, "Well, I don't want to cram religion down my children's throat. They ought to be able to wait till they get of age and then be able to choose." Wrong. Take, for example, a child's life and compare it to a garden. You plant your garden, you work the ground, you plant the seed. That seed has got to be born, and it's got to come up and make fruits and vegetables, right? If you plant that garden, you put the seed in the ground, and it comes up, and then you do not put a tiller in there, you don't hoe it, you do not pull weeds, you do nothing to that garden, but you let it say, "Oh, I'm just going to let that garden produce what it will." You go back 3 months and look at that garden. It's the same thing in our children's lives. If we don't develop them and teach them the way the Bible tells us to do, it's going to turn out just like that garden. They're going to be growing things of the world. We should have memorials in our lives to reach others. Look what chapter 4, verse 24 says, "So that all of the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Memorials in our lives should be that to reach others also, not just our kids and our grandkids, but others in our lives. It says all the people of the earth may know. We need memorials in our lives to be a witness. We need things in our lives to people can look at and identify you as a Christian. You know, me and Daryl talked about this too. Brother Denton, he sat right there in that pew beside Carolyn, and he was here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. The only time he was not here is when we did not have services for snow. Other than that, he was here. People in the community seen that, and they recognized that. That was a memorial to the people, to be a witness to the people around. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14. Says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." As Christians, we are a light to the world. We are a city that's sitting on a hill with the lights all lit up, and you are to be able to see it for miles. That should be a memorial, our life, our witness before people. Notice it in that scripture there, it starts out being light of the world. And then it goes, it said, and it gives light to all in the house. See, it's not just about being a witness and a light to your children and your family, but also a witness and a light to the world. Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as what? Lights in the world. Holding fast to the word of life. So that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. You know, that scripture there tells us that we can be blameless and innocent. And to be able to do that, you got to be a child of God. And when you're a child of God, you can be found without blemish through the blood of Christ. And that is the only way you can be found without blemish, because it is not about works. It is about the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. And it says we're in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. And if you can't tell what's going on in the world today that this scripture is not true, then you're blind. You're just not wanting to see that we live in a crooked and twisted generation. But even at that scripture tells us that we can shine in this world of darkness. We should be living our lives like a light, like a city on a hill. Say, Brother Dennis, I just can't do that. I just ain't got the power. No, you don't have the power, but through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you can live that life. And if you'll quit trying to do it on your own and submit to the Holy Spirit, get into God's Word and grow and hold fast to the Word of life. And that is the Word of life right here. If you're expecting to grow and to live a life without blemish, in this world that we're living in, and all you're getting is what you're being fed right here this morning, you're fooling yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Because that is the only way that you're going to grow. That is the only way that you're going to get through this world, through this perverse and crooked generation, is by the word of life. Amen? It's not my words, but the word of God. It says that in the day of Christ, in the day of Christ, that glorious day that we sang about, Paul says that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. See, when we're teaching our children and our grandchildren and our friends and our family and our co-workers, when we have memorials in our lives, that they can recognize Jesus Christ and the power of God in their lives, it is not in vain. Do you hear me? Don't get discouraged. All the people of the earth may know. Is your life a witness? You cannot hide a city on a hill. Are we a nation of morals? Think about it. With that thought in mind, how about the nature of morals? What are they? They should be enduring. They should be enduring. In this story in Joshua there, it says the word, it says forever. For a memorial for your children forever. Should be a witness to the power of God. Proverbs 22:28 says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. America as a nation has sought to remove the landmarks of Christianity. And it continues today. In 1962, it became illegal for prayer in school. It took a few years for it to follow through here, but that's when it actually became law. In 1963, it was Bible reading. In 1980, they took out the Ten Commandments, said it's illegal to have them in your schools. And even today, they try to take Christ out of Christmas, out of the holiday season when we celebrate Christmas. Joshua chapter 4, verse 8. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. These 12 stones represented each tribe of Israel. So there was deliverance for all Israel. These stones came from the bottom of the river. And I remind you that that river was at flood stage, and these stones came from the bottom of the river declaring the miraculous deliverance and the power of God. Our testimony, our lives, they should have significance and be clearly understood. Your children and your grandchildren at an early age are to be able to know and see what you believe. Think about these closing thoughts. What are some of the stones in your life? What are some of the memorials that people can see that sets your life apart, that sets your life on a hill, that shines the power of God that they can see? See, that's what draws people to God. It's not the words that you speak. It's the power of God that comes with those words, and that change in your life and in your heart that people can see. They can see that there's a difference. They can see the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. The first one that it takes is to be born again. Because if you don't have that, all you got is religion, and you have no memorials. You may think you do, but you're deceiving yourself. Another one would be baptism. After being born again, to be baptized. Another one would be your church attendance. How does your family, your friends, your neighbors, how do they see you as going to church? Do they see you going once in a while? Or do they see you faithfully, like Denton was, going and continuing in church every week? Another one would be the Lord's Supper. It can be a memorial to us, not only what Christ done for us and continues to do, but also it can be a memorial when your kids see you doing that. How about your life? Think about your life this morning. Can people see a difference? Can they see the power of God in your life? 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 2 says, "You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men." I don't have to tell you this morning that people may not be listening to you, but they're watching. And it says that be known and read of all men. That includes our children and our grandchildren. You see, we can talk a good talk. We can quote Bible scriptures to them all day long. But here's the funny thing about that. See, when Jesus, after his baptism, was in the desert, he was tempted of the devil. What did he use? He used scripture verses, right? But Jesus was living those scripture verses. You see, that's what gives them the power. The devil, he even quoted scriptures back to him. But the devil wasn't living them. The point I'm trying to make there, just don't be just a a parent that quotes scripture to your children. Be a parent, be a grandparent, be a neighbor, be a friend, be a co-worker that not only quotes scripture, but that lives it. And lives it before people, that lives it before your wives, before your neighbors. Amen?